Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Pick and Pop podcast. As always, I'm your host, Luke Sicari, and joining me down the line is Damian Arsenis from thepickandroll.com.au. Damo, how are you?
Oh, much better this week, mate. Not under the weather like I was last week. The flu game came off, and I've recovered.
You have, but there is still a bit of a... I can hear something in the voice there still, so maybe just some...
Bit of husk.
Yeah, some lasting effects from last week where we all know Damo. He was battling the flu game. It was the flu podcast, and we got through. Now, someone who didn't get through, who we are all disappointed with, was Paddy Mills and the San Antonio Spurs. We talked about it last... When we chatted last week, Damo, they were already down 2-0 in the series. Kawhi Leonard had already gone down. So we kind of had an idea of where this was headed. I certainly didn't expect Golden State to destroy San Antonio as much as they did with the scores. I mean, 120 to 108 in game three, 129 to 115 in game four. Those final scores probably don't really indicate the dominance that Golden State exerted in those matchups. So it was, it was complete domination from start to finish in that series. And Paddy in game three, he played 33 minutes. He only scored 7 points. He did have 6 assists, 2 steals, 2 of 10 from the field, and 1 of 4 from downtown. Game four was his highest scoring output of the series. He had 14 points, but again, the efficiency was lacking, only 4 of 13 overall and 3 of 9 from downtown. He did chip in with a block, 4 rebounds, a few assists, but overall, it's hard to judge Paddy this series. I mean, it's not hard to judge. He didn't play well, if we're being frank, but none of his teammates did. It was just... They were outmatched from the start, and once Kawhi went down, it was really a foregone conclusion.
Look, most teams are going to be outmatched against the Warriors, really, and it sets it up for a brilliant series against the Cavs. But look, ultimately, we saw the best of Paddy Mills against the Rockets.
Yeah,
the Rockets
did.
Is where we saw the best of him, and many would have thought that that may have been the series that he struggled in, but he didn't, and he stepped up and he delivered big time. Against the Warriors, we sort of touched on it last week. They've got so many perimeter threats, the Warriors, that it's a hard matchup for Paddy Mills, I think, in that setup. And, he did his best. He worked his butt off, as he always does. But really, as you sort of said, the Spurs were just outmatched and outdone by, probably the hottest team going around right now.
Yeah.
Not named the Cavs.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the two hottest teams will be clashing next week in the NBA final, which is just going to be a great, great series. I mean,
look, Paddy Mills had a great season.
He did, yeah.
Arguably, it was close to a career year for him, and a time he stepped up when Tony Parker's not necessarily on the way out, but certainly looking to step back. Probably a better role now. Tony wouldn't say that to anyone.
No.
But so it's going to be a big, big off season for Paddy Mills because his bank balance is going to jump up significantly.
It will.
It's a matter of, is he going to stay with the Spurs or is he going to end up elsewhere? And if he ends up elsewhere, it could be around 15, 16, even 17 or $18 million a year.
Yeah, and that is the question now with Paddy, isn't it, Damer? I mean, like you said, let's not let this last series against Golden State make us forget how good he was against the Rockets and his entire season as well. It's been a career year for Mills, so we can't forget that. Like you said, he's entering unrestricted free agency this offseason, which means it's open slather. He can sign with whoever offers him a contract, really. There's no restrictions in this current deal to hold him back, so he's free to go wherever he liked. His last contract that he signed was a $13 million contract over 3 years. This past year, he got paid $3.2 million, and as you alluded to, that is going to spike dramatically. Somewhere between that $12 to $18 million range, I would imagine. Like you said, if he does go somewhere else, probably a 4-year deal, stays at San Antonio, about probably a year less is just the way the current climate in the market is. That's how it kind of goes. If you stay with your current team, usually don't get that extra year protection. A lot of opposing teams offer that extra year insurance as a pool to get you to their team. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. I mean, he's got a lot to weigh up, obviously, with his family and where he wants to live, where he wants to play, situations. You know, Murray now from the Spurs is looking like their point guard of the future all of a sudden. So
that's it.
Does he want to start? He's still going to come off the bench. there's a lot of decisions to be made for Patty Mills. Another Aussie basketballer who did make a decision this week, I think only today or yesterday it became official, and we spoke about this man last week, Damo, was Danga Dowell, and he was tossing up between the draft and going back to college, and he's made his choice.
Look, he's one of 73 players that withdrew their names. He tasted, he did the whole early entrant thing. Testing the waters is what they call it. And by all accounts, he had some great feedback. You know, his coach Rick Pitino came out and said he got some really good feedback. They loved his length. They loved what he could potentially offer. Obviously, his athleticism. And he's been given feedback and obviously a chance to go back to college for his junior year, his third year, to improve on those areas. And by all accounts, he's going to be the man at Louisville next season. We're talking about a team that's, you know, pretty much penned in to be an NCAA tournament team every year. So he's going to be the man at Louisville next season. And if he can come through and deliver next season, he could very well work his way into being a late lottery round pick.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like we touched on last week, going through these pre-draft workouts with multiple teams and impressing by all accounts is an experience for him. It's a learning curve. It's to get feedback. He knows what he has to work on now in college to make his draft stock go up for 2018. So we all expected him to return in a way, but at the same time, he's just maximizing his options and his output. We'll move on to a story. This is our last of our NBA portion of the podcast, and it's a really strange story. We've all seen it. It's the Andrew Bogut, Liz Cambage Twitter argument, Twitter war, Twitter feud, whatever you want to call it. It's been called a few things. We're not going to run through every individual tweet. We'll be here all day.
There's no love lost between them. Let's put it that way.
No. And look, to me, it does stink of a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek type of thing. Do they have a good relationship? Probably not. Are they being 100% serious with one another? Probably not. They'll move on. It's nothing serious. No one's getting hurt. And like they've done it before, it did start in Rio, or it started publicly in Rio for the first time anyway. Liz Cambage has spoken to the Herald Sun today, pretty much said, you know what, a lot's been written about for her. She doesn't like it when people bag her, I'll say. Well, maybe not bag, it's a strong word, but criticize her for her DJing. She believes it's important to have a backup plan after professional sporting, which is absolutely fine. We all know how Andrew Bogut is with his cold humor, especially on social media. I guess the question I have is, do you want this a part of the game? Is it a bad look for Australian basketball? I don't know. I think in this generation, most people can just look past it as two athletes with big egos going at it on Twitter, which is fine. I mean, Patty Mills, Joe Ingles, Chris Golding, they all got involved.
There's been plenty of people jump in.
Yeah, so I don't think
and get involved. And really, at the end of the day, it is harmless. But I think everyone knows Andrew Bogut on social media. He is as sarcastic as they come.
Yeah.
He's actually great to follow on social media if you get a chance.
Some of his political views do make you laugh, I'll be honest.
They do, but he doesn't shy away from saying anything.
Nah.
And, you know, to a degree, it was all blown out of proportions. And, of course, Liz Cambage has come in. And for me, I think she sort of lost the battle. But let's leave it at that. It's been bizarre, to say the least.
Yeah, it has been. Maybe it's just a bit of fun, something to look back on in a few months' time and laugh at. We'll move on to European basketball. Nadema,
I called it.
Yeah, you did. You always give us big predictions on the European basketball scene with the Aussies.
They
are usually right, so take it away.
Brock Motum and Ben Madjan, they're going to be playing off the Lithuanian Championship.
How good is that?
I called it earlier in the year. Late last year. Yep. I called it again earlier and said this could happen. These two teams played off for the Lithuanian Cup.
Yep.
That was won by Zalgiris Kaunas. And they're going to be playing off for the championship now too, because Ben Madjan, oh my goodness, he was phenomenal get his team, Liatkabelis, over the line. He had in the game clincher, the series clincher, he poured in a game high 24 points on 8 of 14 shooting, 3 of 6 from downtown, 8 rebounds, 2 assists to get his side over the line over Lietuvos Rytas, which is one of the legendary teams in Lithuania. and to get into the grand final series. So just phenomenal. And on the other side, you've got Brock Modem, who's just been a model of consistency, coming off the bench, delivering his 10, 12, 14 points every game.
Yep.
And he's done no different in the finals as well. And Zalgiris got straight in. They lost only one game to Neptunus Klaipeda in their series. But, you know, both these teams, they're going to be battling off for the championship. And if you get a chance, head to the Pick and Rolls YouTube
yes.
channel, because we managed yep. to get some questions in to Brock Modem today, actually. And hear what he has to say ahead of the grand final series. And we're hoping to have the same of Ben Madsen by tomorrow.
Yep, highly recommend you all check that out. So I had a quick look at him today, and very good insights heading into a grand final series from those two. Your prediction that we can just timestamp and cut up the audio and then play it in a couple of weeks so you can just celebrate your
glory. You won't need to do it because you just know I'm right. it'll be Zalgiris will get the win. They're the EuroLeague team. They've been playing some outstanding basketball. They're the perennial. They're the powerhouse of Lithuanian basketball, and the fact that Brock Modem, the highest paid import or foreigner in Lithuania, is coming off the bench for them tells you how good they are.
Yep, there you go. So we have it right here first. That will be the winner of the grand final.
But just quickly,
yes.
In France, we've got
yep.
David Anderson in action in France, and his team is defending their title, but they've come in as the eighth seed, taking on the number one seed in their quarterfinal series, and they're locked up at 1-1 heading into game three.
There we go. So there's still plenty going on over in Europe with a lot of familiar names for Aussie basketball fans now. Before we wrap it up here, Damo, I want to quickly mention as well some other news that went into the public domain this week. Basketball Australia announced a 21-player squad for the Opals.
The Opals.
Yes, yeah. For the Opals. They will head off to Phoenix, Arizona for a selection camp ahead of the FIBA Women's Asia Cup, which I'm pretty sure will be played in India. I have it here with me. Yes, in Bangalore, India.
In Bangalore.
Yeah, it starts. The schedule hasn't been released, but the Opals, excuse me, will travel on the 17th of July. So still a bit of time there to formalise this squad.
Yeah.
Yep. Go on.
No, I was just going to say, so because Sandy Brondello is coaching the WNBA, am I right in saying that we're going to have another coach at the helm for that tournament?
Yeah, we're going to have the assistant, so Cheryl Chambers from the Sydney Uni Flames and Paul Garas from the Canberra Capitals. They'll be taking over the head coaching reins while Sandy's still with the Phoenix Mercury, which is an agreement that all parties, including Basketball Australia, were aware of when they made Sandy the head coach. They knew she was not going to be available for this tournament prior to appointing her. So it comes as no surprise. And look, they've got two quality assistants there, two WNBL coaches with a lot of the girls will have experience with previously. So it shouldn't be that much of an issue. I'd imagine the same structures and frameworks on both defensive and offensive ends will be the same. So nothing to worry about.
Some great talent in that squad, mate.
Yeah, there's
really good talent. And I note, We've got a couple of college players in there, and Christy Wallace
yep.
and Alana Smith. And, of course, those two absolutely starred in the NCAA tournament this year.
They did. They were absolutely terrific. There's six members from the Rio Olympic team as well. Pickandroll.com.au. The full squad is there if you want to have a look and dissect it. But, yeah, it's full of talent. Erin Phillips, even though she's retired from the WNBA, she's been named. So she'll be there. Plenty going on in the world of Aussie basketball this week, Damo. As always, appreciate your time, and we'll do it all again next week.
Appreciate your time too, Luke, and we'll speak next week.